Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Frontline,
by the way, has an outstanding production.
Geography Frontline.
Hey, Frontliners, how's it going? It's been a busy week, and I'm finally back on my desk and on my mic to record the next episode of Geography Frontline. We ran short on feedback this week. There are some comments, and that's great. And as you all know, the show really takes off if you're sending in lots of emails, voicemails, and then Facebook posts so that we can get a vital discussion going. And you don't want to listen to my thoughts only, right? So this week we talk a little about learning methods. And yeah, but main topic for today is urban renewal. And here's a quick follow-up for the topic of tar sands we talked about last week. We talked about that enhanced oil recovery in Canada, if you remember. Tar sands contain clay, sand, water, and bitumen. And bitumen, that is a very heavy black viscous oil. And so the sands can be refined to extract the oil out of it. And it's not so cost-effective as drilling for oil, but yeah, let's say offshore. But with a rising need for oil and the rising prices, it becomes an option. And we did a quick vote on the topic asking tar sands for the United States. And 75% of the frontliners voted for answer D, environmental disaster. And 25% of you said answer C, it's just needed. No one picked answer A, today's energy independence, or answer B, good economic choice, or E, another opinion. So, the environmental issue seems to be the most important in your opinion. Open cast mining destroys lots of square miles of nature to extract the tar sands. And what about renaturation? Did anyone who voted for answer D look that up? I think that this is something you should always do. Take the topics of the show to start a search. Learn to watch out for geographic content in the media. Find articles, websites, posts that you can back reference to some geographic theories of content you talked about in class. Well, like the environmental impact of tar sands. If you hear me asking, does the utilization of tar sands, come with an environmental disaster? You might think, environmental disaster? Environmental disaster. What does that mean? The Sierra Club writes on their website, both mining and processing of tar sands cause significant environmental impacts, including huge emissions of global warming gases, destruction of wildlife habitat, and impacts to air and water quality. In addition to producing greenhouse gas emitting fossil fuels, tar sands development is significantly more energy intensive than conventional oil and gas development. In this quote alone, there are numerous links for us. What are huge emissions of global warming? Of global warming gases. So what's so huge about that? What does it mean, huge? Do we know that this gas is really contribute to global warming? What kind of wildlife is destroyed here? Are we talking about moss and grass or about birds and bears? Is the amount of energy needed to develop tar sands really an issue? And why? Well, the list goes on and on. And to come back to the question about renaturation, a quick Google search didn't show any results. So why is that? Is there no renaturation going on? Or not yet? Or is our research based perhaps too much on search results from private companies like Google? My point with tar sands is that you can take almost any topic from the daily news and find something geographic in it. The more you know about theories, about concepts, about models, the
the more you will recognize. Yeah. And let me emphasize the syllable re in recognize. And use this show. Really use that show. Use Frontline to test your geographic skills. Send your comments and thoughts to comment@geography.com and let us know what you think about the topics we discuss. The community will soon recognize you as someone who often sends in really useful and well-founded thoughts, right? That's great. And for all new listeners who aren't familiar with the different ways of sending in feedback for Geography Frontline, there's also Skype voicemail, besides the email, that you can call. The Skype name is Geography, and after a short message from me and a beep, you can just tell us what you think, yeah, with your own voice. That's really great, because then I can extract an MP3 file and yeah, montage it into the next show. Third way of sending in feedback would be our Facebook wall. The address is facebook.com/geography. And last but not least, there's the Frontline Quick Vote, where you can vote with a single click. Last week I asked you about tar sands, and this week, well, we talk about that in a minute.
What's that sound?
Before we move on with our discussions, let's talk about sound for a second. Our sound riddle is a very good way to test your auditive skills when I play a short sound clip and you have to guess what sound it might be. All sounds occur in the urban environment, and as most of you will live in urban areas, I'm sure, there's a good chance that you recognize what you're listening to. And if not, well, could be because of the the poor quality of the sound sample, but could also be because you're not being open enough to other senses than the visual. And remember, you only recognize what you already know. So last week's sound riddle was this one. Want to hear it again? Okay, here we go. Nobody seemed to be so sure about this sound. So nobody sent in a suggestion. But perhaps you want to try again. What's that sound? Well, go ahead, post your comments on our Facebook wall or send them in via email or voicemail. So let's start this week's main topic with some music. From the PodSafe Music Network, this is Gustav Nilsson with New York.
Had a feeling for all of my life, but it cuts like a big old slow knife. It says I was born in the wrong town, and I better get away. And I've been trying to find out where to go, still I'm not sure if I'm really right. But when I'm there, I will surely know. I've packed my bags, I'm leaving here tonight. And if you're feeling naked, alone, then together we could make our way. Tomorrow is waiting for us, arriving like a too slow big bus. And if you're feeling ready to go, then I will take you there, and we'll get there in the afternoon, looking for what we want to see. Tonight we're following the moon to the place that's made for you and me. We could find a way out of the blue. Together we will make our way to New York. We will make it to New York. We will make it to New York.
Ho, frontliners. This is Gustav Nilsson with his song New York, a Podsafe song available on the Podsafe Music Network on music.mevio.com. The EP, You Have Brushed Your Teeth So Clean, is available on the iTunes Store. Check out this week's show notes to get the direct links to both the US and the German store. And it's time again for an update about the posts on our Facebook wall. Facebook.com/geography, that's Frontline on Facebook. One post on our Facebook wall was so interesting that I decided to make it the main topic for today. Mila posted the following. That's a great project I recently discovered. Such a great project for rediscovering unused urban space. So, Mila, he attached a video. Yeah, you can find that on our Facebook wall about redesigning the High Line in New York City. So, what's it all about? Let's find out. Imagine being able to walk for miles through the heart of New York City without ever touching the ground. That's a quote from the WebUrbanist.com. And what are we talking about?
In the mid-1850s, the Hudson River Railroad laid tracks between Albany and Lower Manhattan.
It ran down the middle of 10th Avenue, and they called it Death Avenue because so many people were run over by the train.
Wow. So it's about a railroad track in New York City that originally was so dangerous for pedestrians that it was redesigned in the mid-1800s.
They would raise the tracks between the blocks, not over the street. The railroad cars would come in at the third story in all these buildings. Meanwhile, the streets are free for the rest of us.
Yeah, and this became the New York City High Line. For years, trains went over these bridges until the line was shut down in 1980. So for about the last 25 years, the High Line was just there. No use. A classic case for renewal, right? So you got free space in the city that's not used anymore. For its original purpose. So let's do something with it.
It was an area of manufacturers, of warehouses, of shipping originally, and they didn't think about parks. And then it became residential, and suddenly people are saying, oops, where are the parks?
Oops, where are the parks? Good question. And an interesting fact that New Yorkers didn't think about that in the 1980s, but only at the beginning of the 21st century, right? I found that very interesting. Typical social geographic issue. How must a society be shaped that it develops a need for more public spaces? Because back in the 19th century, there wouldn't have been many people using such a park. No 40-hour week and so on, right?
It would add greenery and a chance for people to think in an area that's basically big buildings and concrete.
So that's the new project, to generate new urban green space for leisure and for time to think. Very creative. And where is the High Line located?
It connects three neighborhoods: the Meatpacking District, West Chelsea, which is full of art galleries, and then the Hudson Yards, Hell's Kitchen neighborhood above that.
Time to think. Art galleries, new urban green space. That sounds to me like there's a real transformation going on.
You see a slice of the city that connects you to it and disconnects you from it.
Oh, yeah. Thinking about urban space really has changed over the last years, huh? A slice of the city that connects you and disconnects you. Wow. Do we really have a need to get disconnected today? Isn't that in some way, in some digital way, our greatest fear? But cell phone and Wi-Fi should work. Yeah, should work excellent up there. But seriously, reusing formerly important parts of a city and adjusting it to today's needs is nothing really new. Take fortification systems like the ones from French architect Vauban, for example, right? In many European cities, like in Germany, France, Spain, you had these massive walls that were supposed to protect the citizens of a city from enemies. But nowadays, most of these stone monuments from Renaissance and Baroque, they have vanished. And what are the typical after uses of those fortification systems? Housing areas, streets, and parks, of course. So next time you are asked to give an example for urban reuse, you might want to answer the question a little more contemporary and exchange Vauban for the High Line. Great example. So it's time again for a quick vote.
And to go on talking about urban renewal seems to be a really interesting thing to do. So just in case you don't know the quick vote, I should tell you it's a very simple one-click voting system. On the website of each episode on geography.com, you find a drop-down menu where you can, with one click, state your opinion. I'm also posting the direct link to the current quick vote on the Facebook wall. So, if you're not a follower already, go to facebook.com/geography and click to answer the following question. What does it take to reuse urban space? What does it take? A. It takes free urban space. Huh? Answer B. It takes a different kind of thinking. Answer D. No, answer C. Not so fast. Answer C. It takes money, money, money. Or answer D. Another opinion. Yeah, many cities are packed, and there seems to be no extra public space left to remodel it for leisure and getting disconnected. But is that really so? What does it take for a city to have its own Highline project? If you vote today, take some time to perhaps post an additional comment on the Quick Votes results page that pops up after you submitted your vote. And there can, like writing me an email, discuss the question. And if you know about similar projects, send me a link and a short summary of the project. That would be awesome. Take a picture with your smartphone and post it on our Facebook wall. And to get even more inspired to send in feedback, I put a lot of links in the show notes, more than we discussed today, that deal with unused urban spaces. You can read about the project D-Lansay Underground, for example, see what this is all about, read more about this unused urban space in a journal article from NEFS. There's also a link to a position paper from the European Union, right, about urban spaces. And be sure to take a look at this episode's show notes. And talking about the Highline, in about 2.5 weeks, I'll be in New York City for the AAG's annual meeting, right? I told you about it. And so I'll just see if I can make it and get some pictures of the Highline myself. Yeah. Talking about upcoming conferences. The announcements for episode 117 of Geography Frontline. City 2020 Plus, Engineering Life Quarterly for the Future. That's the name of an interdisciplinary international conference on demographic and climate challenges in the city. It takes place in Aachen, Germany, April 18th till 20th, 2012. And here on the website they say, we invite scholars, researchers, planners, and students to share results of ongoing or currently concluding projects as either oral presentations or posters. We accept contributions from the fields of sociology, medicine, geography, history, environmental science, engineering, meteorology, architecture, and related disciplines. So, any urban discipline, really. The scope of this event is to initiate an interdisciplinary exchange on current issues and open questions in this field of research. A link to the conference website is in the show notes. And if you want to take a closer look at the topics we've discussed, just take a look at all the links from this episode on geography.com or check out our Facebook wall. And this is it for today's episode. If you waited for Alexander von Humboldt and another reading from his voyage to the Americas in 1799, we'll hear about it in the next episode of Geography Frontline, and there will be other things to talk about. Send in your feedback and tell your friends, your colleagues and fellow students about Frontline. Have a great week, everybody, and never forget, the network is us.